Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Gianervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big NBA draft show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We're here with Chris in Georgia and Tom in New Jersey, bringing us all the excitement from the draft, which is coming to your way Thursday night. So we'll give you our picks and rotate what we think each team will... I guess it's in a way what we think each team should draft, because we're basically going to do a mock draft tonight at the end of our podcast tonight. And we will pretend to be the GM of each of these teams, but we'll rotate. So we'll start with Chris, who gets the honor as the first pick of the draft, and he'll make Phoenix's pick. Tom will make the second pick, I'll make the third pick, and then we just go back. And then we go back to Chris, Tom, and me, and on and on and on through the top 14 picks of the first round. So I've got a mock draft just about ready to go, and I think I got a feel for who's going to go where. It should be fairly... this ranking of all the draft picks right now is a little off. I don't really agree with it, but... But I think we'll have a general idea of where everybody's going to go, and we'll have some surprises along the way. So we should need to also talk about these prospects. So I'm happy to have Tom joining us this time around, because he's definitely up on his college basketball. He really knows some of the rising stars in basketball. So it should be fun. Let's jump it. The NBA Report, a special edition. We're going to be talking about the NBA draft with our preview here in the city. So let's get everybody aboard. Lots to chat about, some exciting names. We've heard them all this season, and we'll break some of these names down one by one before we get into our mock. So let's do it. We start with our co-host all year, as he has been doing the NBA Report with me. And that's Chris in Georgia. How's it going, Chris?
Great, Dave. Glad to be here. This is an exciting time. Glad the draft is here. And this is fun. Looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Let's also bring in for the draft coverage, Tom in New Jersey. Tom, good to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Dave, I am fine. Hope all is well with you. Nice and warm out today. Not too hot. Weather's good. All is good in the world, Dave. Hope you're all right.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I thank you for that, and likewise for you and yours. And certainly a fun time right now in the NBA. The off season is getting to a point where it's arguably better than the regular season. Like we might already be there.
It is.
I think we're already there. It's pretty intense. So all kinds of rumors today. And Chris, you certainly were no stranger to them. We were talking about how Dwight Howard was traded this morning for Timofey Mozgov. The trade went between the Charlotte Hornets and the New Jersey Nets. And then you had rumors that Kevin Love was not going to be shot by the Cavs. There's just all sorts of wildness right now. There was even a late rumor from Zach Lowe that speculated that the Celtics could trade away, who was it? Jaylen Brown, I think it was, Chris, in order to get Kawhi Leonard. I mean... That was it. So silly, but a lot going on. Am I right?
It's an exciting time. We've already gotten up to a flying start with the Howard trade. So that's good. That's a big one. And I think it's going to be an amazing offseason. And the draft is a big part of that, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, we know that there are probably going to be some trades in the first part of the draft too. People are going to want to trade up, although it doesn't seem like a lot of rumblings to that effect. I was a little surprised at that. Tom, are you equally surprised that There haven't been quite as many rumors about trade-ups.
It's not a great draft. I would say it's an average draft year. So I'm not really that surprised. I did like the Dwight Howard move for the Nets to clear up money. But I also think that Dwight Howard is probably going to be the worst Hall of Fame player ever. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame. Look at his numbers. But, like, he's such an enigma. And he actually played pretty well this last year. A lot of people didn't realize it. I think he only missed, like, maybe one or two games. He played
81 games.
Yeah. So he played well this past year. But he's such an enigma, and it seems like he doesn't give a shit. He was just born into that body, and he just happens to be good, somewhat decent at basketball. But I don't know. But I actually like that move for the Nets. Clears up space. I actually like what this guy's doing. Maybe in 5 years, the Nets will be decent again.
Yeah.
But they're in better shape than the Knicks right now.
Yeah, I think that's a decent statement. I mean, the Knicks have the nice draft pick too, but still, like the Nets seem to at least have a plan. I think that seems to be my sense of it.
It just seems like the Nets have a plan and the Knicks don't. And plus, with KP being hurt, it's tough. Like, the only thing the Knicks have to look forward to is the draft, obviously, tomorrow. And the rumors that they might get Kyrie when he becomes a free agent. That's like the only thing they have to look forward to.
And I don't know what the odds of that are. The Knicks always tend to be rumored to be landing this free agent and that free agent. And I'm sure both of you guys are familiar with all the LeBron rumors already. Lot of stuff going on. And I think in the time since our last NBA show, Kawhi Leonard made it official. Well, everybody knew it already, but made it official that he wanted out of San Antonio and had a preference for Los Angeles. Although I don't remember him specifying which team. So maybe he ends up going to the Clippers. I would not rule that out. So,
I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares. I think he just wants out. I think he's sick of the Spurs. But he really didn't help himself with this whole thing, with the injury. I mean, he didn't talk about it. He didn't discuss his injury at all.
Right.
The entire team, no one knew anything. And that's just how he is. He's such a quiet guy.
Yeah.
And that's why I think with like the rumors, there's no way it's going to happen. But if he ever went to the Knicks, I think it would be terrible. He would just get destroyed by the media.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's good dealing with that type of stuff.
I did think about that. Chris, if you talk about like him in a big market like LA or New York or Chicago or somewhere like that, do you think that could become a real issue?
I don't think so. I would tend to think he'd be fine. I mean, like, again, he's from LA area. He's not, you know, he's not a country kid. So I think he'd be fine. I don't think that's a big deal. And I think LA would go nuts if they had him, assuming he's healthy. We don't know anything about what's going on. That's the crazy part is that, I think he played 8 games last year, and we don't even really know what happened. And at some point, he was cleared to play, and he played, and then he sat out a whole bunch of games after that. So
it's so weird.
That's the question I'd have, and that's if I'm a team, I'd be very careful about trading anything valuable for him at this stage.
And it seems like you're going to need to trade a lot of really important pieces in order to get him. And I can understand that. But that's very
risky.
He's
a top 10 player, Dave.
Yeah.
You got to give up a lot for
him. No, you got to give up something to get something. No question about it. Like, if you are a team, let's say, I mean, well, we could use the Lakers for an example. I mentioned to Chris, Tom, that, you know, they probably would have to get rid of Ingram. They might have to get rid of Randall. They have to get rid of Kuzma. They might have to get rid of all of them in order to get Kawhi. But do you think that's...
I think three.
Do you think that'd be worth it?
When's he a free agent?
Next year. So not this offseason, but the year after.
I think he would resign, so I think it would be worth it.
Yeah, I think you do it based on the idea that he resigns, and it seems like at least logically it would happen. As Chris mentioned, he's an LA guy, so I think he would enjoy it. So it would be very interesting to see
how he does. I've never really heard him talk. That's what's so weird. I don't remember him talking at all. That is very unusual in the NBA. So,
well, you're a Laker fan, so you got it good right now. You have so many. You can either get LeBron, you can get Kawhi, Paul George. It's just great being a Laker fan right
it's
now.
It's good to be me.
If you're a fan of if you're a fan of the Knicks like me, you're just don't even go there. You can't get anyone. But it seems like you have your choice.
Yeah.
I really hope LeBron stays with Cleveland, but it looks like that's maybe like a 10% chance of that happening.
Yeah.
Unless something crazy happens, it's not happening.
I doubt it. And it sounded like, based on the room that on what we got today, as far as their intention to not shop Love, that seems like if that's taken at face value, that seems like an obvious play to move on from LeBron. So that seems to suggest that they probably don't expect him to come back. And it's within his right. I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with LeBron coming back. I mean, you did actually predict that about 2 weeks ago, Tom. And I saw your point. Like, it's like, well, where else could he go? But I think the cap room is very enticing, and the situation in Los Angeles is going to make for a very exciting time in L.A., especially in Staples Center. So it'll be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see. So, I'm sorry. I was just going to say it's going to be interesting to see who he pairs up with. Does he pair up with Chris Paul, Paul George, Leonard? It's going to be interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and Chris, you even saw a rumor that LeBron might even team up with the Celtics. That I thought that was outrageous. And I think at that point, I thought maybe they were making stuff up.
Oh, the Celtics rumor? Yeah, I'm very skeptical about that. I think the Lakers have to be the favorite. I guess he'd probably consider the Clippers too. I mean, if they could squeeze him in there, but I don't think
they're the captain.
Well, I wonder if Jordan doesn't sign, because I believe he has a player option.
Yeah.
If he does it, and I think the odds are he's going to pick up that option. But if he doesn't, I think they would have enough room, because they did clear out a lot of cap space with the Blake trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did.
I'm a little surprised. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I believe Avery Bradley is a free agent also, so there is a little bit of money coming off the books for them, and I'm fairly sure the Jordan thing is a player option this year.
Yeah. I would be surprised if he declined it, though, because I can't see him getting paid that kind of money anywhere else right now. So I think he'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the offseason ahead. But we look right now at the prospects and the draft coming up in just hours from now. And you look at the top three. They've been talked about all year. Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley III, he's out of Duke. Luka's out of Slovenia. And DeAndre Ayton is out of Arizona. And the first pick of the draft will go to Phoenix. We'll get into that in a little bit. But talking about the top three, you know, Doncic has been hyped so much this year. And I think it's just a great opportunity for any team that takes him, because he just seems like an exciting player. He's led teams to championships. I don't know exactly what kind of championships, but he has taken the team to a championship. He's had a lot of success in Spain, I understand. So, so it's a very, very mysterious but exciting player. Very athletic guy. Obviously not perfect. There's certainly things that all these guys can improve, but that's the one that I think that is the most interesting to me. And then after that, it's Ayton. And I think Ayton is this high because he's from Arizona, and so the Suns are really, really like 90% chance they will draft him. And I'm not as big a fan, but he's definitely shown his ability to score. His defense is very lackluster. And personally, I just never thought he was that great a player in a big game. Like, he just never really did much in the Pac-12 tournament. He didn't really do much in the NCAA tournament. Sometimes that doesn't mean anything in the NBA, but I was not impressed at all. So that's him. And Bagley the third, kind of a similar spot as far as his defense. Like, his defense isn't really that great, but he definitely has a lot of he's a very interesting player. Certainly was a big part of Duke's success this year. But when he was out, you would get Wendell Carter taking his place, and Carter seemed to be pretty good too. So a lot of center type ability, but he's kind of like at 7 feet, he could be what they call a tweener. So there's a lot going on there. So let me go to Tom first and get your opinion of the top three. You know, how would you value each of these three prospects?
I like Doncic, or however you pronounce it. I like him the best. I think he has the highest upside. You described Ayton pretty well. Not great in the big game with the NCAA tournament, but he did have some absolutely monster games this past year. I remember one specific game was when Sean Miller had all those allegations against him, and he was part of the allegations for taking money, supposedly, or whatever. I think he had like 36 points like the next game. But like he's obviously an offensive like machine. He's going to be a solid player, but defensively a lot of issues, motivation issues. I don't really think Phoenix wants him specifically because he went to Arizona. I think they've always liked him from the get go, it seems, and his offensive game is great. They like his size, and with the international kids, a bit of an unknown, but he's got such a high ceiling, and he's won so much in the international game for Spain, but that's who I would go after. And Bagley, when he played, he was great. I thought Coach K didn't utilize him perfectly. It seemed like whenever he got the ball down low, he was unstoppable. I was worried. I told you so many times. That was the one team I didn't want Villanova to play was Duke, mostly because of him. He's such a great player. But as you said, defensively, not great either. And it seems like the NBA is such a – you really want guys who can play offense and defense now. You don't want just one-way players anymore. But, if it were up to me, I would go with Doncic, and then Bagley, and then Ayton. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, given the choice between the three, I think Doncic he's got, like you said, the most potential. And it's true in fantasy drafts too that we do. Like, I'm always picking with my first pick the person who has the greatest ceiling. It's, you know, well, I guess, and when you talk about a fantasy draft that involves veterans, then you're talking about just who's the best player, but. But say that you were playing, that you were drafting, you know, a bunch of rookie guys. You definitely go after the asset that you think has the highest upside in just any situation. So that's why my argument is always for Doncic in that spot. And then beyond that, Bagley, the third. And I think the case can be made, it's been made by Chris Vernon multiple times, that he probably has the least probability of being a bust of the three. And I think that's fair. I think you kind of know what you get with him, and that isn't the bad thing. Like, if you're a team that needs to have a consistent, valuable, dependable asset, a dependable player that you can build around, I mean, Bagley the third seems like a really good choice from that standpoint. So, and he had been dependable for Duke for outside the injury situation. He was really good around the rim. I thought he was a solid player. So, I'm kind of with Tom on that too. So. Let's go to Chris and get your feeling for these top three.
So I'm totally in agreement about Doncic. I'm a big fan. I mean, he's a he's basically like a 6'8 point guard, 6'8, 220, excellent court vision, great passer. He's been competing at a much higher level, you know, than Bagley or Ayton at this point, because he's been playing against pros. He was MVP of the Spanish league this year. They're still playing. I think he's played over 80 games this year already. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. There's a lot to like there. His 3-point percentage is probably could come up, but I haven't heard anyone cite that as a red flag. Not terrible, but not ideal. But yeah, I'm a big fan, and where he lands is the big question mark in my opinion right now. I don't want to get speculate on where he'll go. As far as the other guys, yeah, I kind of agree with what everyone said. I mean, Ayton kind of looks like he looks the part, you know. We talked about Dwight Howard a little bit. He's kind of that same kind of, you know, size and build, you know, 7 feet tall, very muscular. He had some monster games. There's a lot to like there. Questions a lot about his defense. And then Bagley, kind of the same deal. I mean, in terms of defense, I heard someone saying that Duke played a lot of zone, so Krzyzewski wasn't actually looking to him to play man D. Maybe someone can coach him up at the next level. Not a great shooter, but in the half court down low, as Tommy pointed out, he's a good player and excellent transition player too. So I don't know. I'm sort of curious. I tend to think this is actually a pretty good draft. I was kind of surprised to hear Tommy say that he thought it was – I think he said it was average, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's – I think there's going to be reason for excitement if you pick any of the three, although I think way less so with Ayton. I just feel like it's going to be – it has so much potential to be a colossal failure. When you talk about a guy that has motivational issues and you're that young, I have a real problem with that in my experience over the years in the NBA. So I'm not sure if that's something that would go away. You know, this just tends to be a real issue with me. So that we'll have to see. I tend to respect players that give everything in every game a little bit more in that spot. Let's go down the line. We have some more forwards to break down. Jaren Jackson Jr., he's out of Michigan State. Wendell Carter Jr. at Duke, I mentioned him already. But the one I think we've got to talk about is Michael Porter Jr. And I think he's the consensus favorite to be a bust in this year's draft. I mean, he played three games this year for Missouri. And beyond that, he seems to talk himself up quite a bit. And he gets hurt a lot. So I'm not this seems like it could be a huge, massive fail, but maybe I'm over panicking on this, and he may wind up being a pretty solid player. So let's look at those guys. Tom, I'll give it to you first for a look at the other forwards. I should mention Sexton too. I'll get you going. Yeah.
Start with Porter first. Am I starting with Porter first?
Yeah, start with Porter because I've been wondering all week what you would think about this because I wonder where you're at with him.
I would say if he dropped to the Knicks at 9, I would love it. I think it just because of the potential. Mm-hmm. I think at 9 that would be a steal. But if I had a top 5 pick or even the 6, I would stay away from him. But at 9, I think that could be a potential steal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a ton of talent. I mean, out of high school, you know how I follow all these kids out of high school. He was if the draft was with high school kids, he probably would have been first or second pick. That's how good he was out of high school, how highly regarded he was. But with the injuries now and with his attitude, and I actually like the fact of how cocky he is and how he thinks he's the best. But there's obviously a lot of risk there. But I think he's going to be really good. It's just a matter if he does.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest. Probably the biggest thing that's going to stop any team from drafting him is the injury risk that's involved, and generally it can be very dangerous. I've seen it play out both ways. I mean, Adrian Peterson had a big injury risk, was a big risk of injury when he was at Oklahoma. They drafted him, Minnesota did, and he was great. So it didn't really matter for a while anyway. And then he got hurt for a long period of time. Blake Griffin, you know, there were some issues with him possibly getting hurt too. Clippers draft him, and he didn't even play the first year because he was hurt so hard. So it took him like a year to rehab. Then he got in the league, and he lit it up, and things were really exciting in Clipperland for a few years. So that's probably two scenarios where there was injury risk going in. the draft goes down, and they still wound up being pretty good all-star caliber players. So I guess you don't really know until you're several years down the line. So good stuff on that. Let's get the Chris in Georgia take on Michael Porter Jr., because definitely we've spoken about it off here as well. Where are you at with him? Do you think he'd be worth taking, in the top 10?
Yeah, so I totally agree with what Tom said. A year ago, I mean, he was the top recruit in the country. I believe he had originally committed to Cal and then transferred to and then moved to Missouri when the coach from the Cal Bears went to Missouri. But yeah, I mean, the red flag is, I mean, first of all, back issues. He played three games. That's all you got to say right there. I mean, he has back problems. And for a big guy, you could be optimistic, but that is a huge, huge risk. The talking himself up stuff is, that's another thing. That doesn't bother me quite as much. I mean, it's sort of amusing. Like he was saying, I'm the next Giannis and KD. I mean, he's got a lot to prove, just staying healthy. And as far as where I draft him, I mean, yeah, I can see, yeah, like if you are the Knicks drafting nine, in that area, definitely he's worth a flyer. But I just think there's too much talent. I mean, we haven't even gotten to Jaren Jackson, for example, Bamba, and so forth. So. There are a lot of guys I'd take before him.
Yeah, that's an interesting call on that, and I feel the same. I think I would take a lot of these other guys in front of him. So, one other polarizing player, and then we'll just get into a more general overview. Trae Young. I mean, this has been by far the most overhyped player on ESPN this entire college basketball season. Nobody was talked about more than this guy, and he had a great start. He had some 50-point games. Was it 50? I think it was 50. Which is unbelievable for college. I mean, 50 points in a 40-minute game. I mean, that's an outstanding game, or at least a lot of shots. But he was great, and then teams figured him out really quickly. Like, within the season, he was getting shut down, and people were focusing on him on the defense because Oklahoma didn't have anybody around him, and his production went down really fast. So the jury really is out on Trae Young, so I'm going to get your opinion first, Tom. Like, do you think that he's a compiler, as they would say. Is he ready for the NBA? What do you think?
He's obviously ready for the NBA. I just think the Stephen Curry comparisons are a joke. If you ever watched Stephen Curry play at Davidson, he could shoot lights out even there. I remember watching him at the Garden once, and he hit this three at the buzzer from like 30 feet out, and he just nailed it, and the Garden erupted. I mean, to compare him to Steph Curry, I think it's absurd. He's not nearly as good of a shooter, in my eyes at least. I also hear people comparing him to, I think Mike Bibby. I wouldn't compare him to him either. I don't want the Knicks to take him, but I think he's going to go before the Knicks. I have to worry about it. I don't think you risk a top five or six pick for a extremely small player that you think could be instant offense off the bench. That's something you're looking for at between 10 and 14, not a top five pick. But I know the league is now mostly just role players with certain strengths, and you want like the 3-point shooter, and you want certain things. Certain characteristics for each player for your team, but I would not waste a top five pick on him. And it seems like that might happen.
Yeah, it's very, very, very tricky. I think I would do everything in my power to draft somebody else in front of him if he was on the board. So I'm kind of in the same boat. Chris, what do you have for us as far as Trae Young? I mean, would you have a similar feeling as far as him in the draft?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, he is a good playmaker, so he has that going for him. The defense is lousy, which you know, you kind of expect for a smaller guy like that. And yeah, I agree. I mean, he was a 36% 3-point shooter in college. So, I mean, it's not like he can't improve, but yeah, I think that part of his game got overhyped. But I totally agree. He's ready for the NBA. This, you know, he had nothing to gain by going back to Oklahoma. And, I don't know. I could see him falling out of the top 10.
I could too. It could play out similar to Russell Westbrook, though, because I do feel like the coaching staff held him back as in addition to his innate shortcomings. So yeah. I'm going to look out for that too, but I still would not risk it with a top 5 pick. No way.
Westbrook was such a freak athlete, though, Dave. Trey is nothing like that. Westbrook was insane in college, just athletically. And I'm trying to remember what their concern was with him. I think his shooting.
I think
he wasn't much of a shooter in college.
Yeah,
and I think that was the risk.
That's a good point. I mean, usually athleticism doesn't take much effort much effort to see on any level. And we saw some of that potential of Ben Simmons when he was in LSU. I mean, I didn't see much of him, but I mean, when he was on the court, people thought immediately, wow, this guy looks explosive off the dribble. He goes to Philadelphia, takes a while, but once he gets there, well, there he is. He's explosive off the dribble there too. So it doesn't really take much effort. It's not like it comes around. If you're a good athlete, that's immediately apparent. And one such guy that's pretty good as an athlete is Mo Bamba, and much of his athletic prowess is shown on defense. He has an incredible wingspan, so he's really one of the ultimate rebounders in the game. He averaged 10.5 rebounds at Texas as a freshman, and I don't know what EFG means, but the Ringer has this rating called EFG. It's 56.7%. I'm guessing that has to do with offensive efficiency. It's pretty good. I mean, he's not. I think he's more of a defensive guy than an offensive guy, but that defense was really exciting, and it probably would be a reason to come and watch. But I tend to think of him as like a Clint Capella. So from that standpoint, I don't know if you really want to draft him like number 2 or number 3 overall in the draft, but he could be really exciting. I mean, he's 7 feet tall. The wingspan is 7'10". I mean, that is pretty good. So. Let's see. Who was I just talking? Oh, so let's go to Chris for your take on Mo Bamba. What would you look forward to if you had a team that drafted Mo Bamba?
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, the one thing that stands out is that wingspan, and that was, I believe I heard that was, since they've started measuring that in the combine, that was the longest wingspan of any player ever. Yeah, I mean, again, just kind of a big guy, actually pretty good defensively, like really good defensively. And there's a lot of optimism that, you know, he can really develop as a 3-point threat, which is interesting. I mean, it's like almost like a 3-and-D guy, except he's 7 feet tall. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, there's a lot that could go wrong. I mean, he's got a high ceiling and a low floor. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. But I can see the ceiling. I can see how that could be in play. So it'd be interesting. Tom, let's get your feeling for Mo Bamba.
I think worst case scenario, he's going to average close to 10 rebounds a game. He's going to be a productive player defensively. His offensive game might never get there. But I think you kind of know what you're getting with him defensively and with rebounding.
Yeah, I think, and that's not nothing. I think that's that could be very useful for a lot of teams here in the top of the draft board. So it's going to be very interesting to watch on Thursday night to see where everybody goes. What's really funny is that the guys at the top of the top of the draft order are just some of the most ineptly run franchises in the sport. I mean, Phoenix, Sacramento, Memphis, Dallas, Orlando, Chicago. I mean, this is a joke. I'm excited to see what happens here. I guess we can talk about a few more of the prospects if you want. So we'll give it to you back. We'll give it back to you, Tom, for some thoughts on the other guys on the board. There's a lot of great players. I mean, Mikal Bridges, Kevin Knox, SGA, his brother Miles Bridges, over both of them from Villanova, right? Yeah, you would know them well, right? Jalen Brunson's
They're not brothers.
Not brothers. I wasn't sure. Okay, so that's good that you said that. I could have really made an embarrassment on the board if I had brought that up on the board. So good. Good thing I cut that early. Remember that whole thing with Chip Kelly and Brian Kelly?
Oh, yeah. But that one, they kind of look alike, so I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of do. You're right. That's an interesting thought. So some of the other guys, I'll just throw these names out there. Aaron Holiday out of UCLA. I think that someone's going to have a pretty valuable pick because I think he'll end up going about maybe mid-round, and I don't think it's a bad choice. He's a competitor. He's pretty much all the the mental killer instinct that Ayton isn't, in my opinion. I think he's a pretty solid player. Who else? I don't think I mentioned the guy from Bama, Colin Sexton. That has some potential too. And anybody else? I guess that's it for me. But let's get your thoughts on some of the other guys to look out for in the first round.
I do like SGA. I know he wasn't. If the draft was earlier before the season, he wouldn't have. I don't think he would have declared. But he had such a great March that he now he's probably going to go in the lottery. I like his game. I also like his teammates' game. Kevin Knox. I think he's going to be a pretty good contributor in the NBA. These guys are. This draft is so crazy because you really don't know where a lot of these guys are going to go. I mean, outside the first pick, who really knows? It's crazy this year. I don't think anyone has really much of a clue. And the mock drafts are so different. Like, you got Michael Porter going fifth in one draft, and then you got him going, like, 12th in another. I mean, it's nuts. But I do like Mikal Bridges. I've obviously seen him a ton. I think he's going to be a very good defensive player. And he's a good. He's actually a really good three-point shooter now. So you kind of know what you're getting from him. You're getting great defense, great athleticism. He's really good in the open court. And I don't really understand why people are comparing him to Kerry Kittles, though. But maybe just because they both went to Villanova. But I don't really get that comparison. But completely different players. But besides that, who else? I don't know. Throw me a name, Dave. I'll tell you what I think about him.
Well, let's see. We've got Lonnie Walker IV from Miami.
I've only seen him play maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Didn't think that much of him. The Holiday from UCLA, I actually like the kid. That's Drew's brother, isn't it? I'm assuming, right?
I think that's a safe assumption in this case.
Yeah, I know Drew went to UCLA too, and I know he has brothers that play basketball, so I'm guessing that's his brother.
Yeah.
But I like his game.
What about DiVincenzo? What's your...
Dante, I would take him late first round. I think he's a guy off the bat. He's actually very athletic. And people are surprised by that because he's white, I guess. But he's very athletic. Could score in bunches. I mean, you saw that in March. He scored, like, I think, like 36 points in a championship game. Very good shooter, but I wouldn't use him as a starter. And the one weakness he has is ball handling. You can't really use him as a point guard. So I think that's why that might hurt him. But
so is he more of a catch and shoot guy?
Catch and shoot, instant offense off the bench. But I can't. I'm not going to see him as a starter. But they're not really looking for a starter late first round. But and his teammate Spellman, who declared, I don't think he's going to go in the first round. But he's got a high ceiling. I think he's going to be a good player in like 2 or 3 years. He should have stayed at Villanova for at least one more year. I think he would have been a lottery pick next year if he stayed. But I don't know if he's going to go in the first round, which is unfortunate, but because now he's not going to have a guaranteed contract. But he'll make a team. But I wish he had stayed. But that's an argument for another day.
All right, one more for you, Tom. Kevin Knox in Kentucky, what they call a raw forward. He's got unrefined skill, but certainly a lot of potential to be a scorer. Now, do you see him as more of a swingman there? Like, is he more of a wing?
I think he's kind of like Tobias Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Big body. Kentucky used him a lot. He was their best player a lot for most of the year. Good player. Played really well in March, I thought. I think I mentioned him before. I actually like his game. If the Knicks took him, I wouldn't be upset.
All right, good stuff.
With the Knicks, I just don't want them taking a point guard. I don't think it's really worth it. I mean, look at last year. They totally screwed it up. They're gonna screw it up again. I just want them to get a small forward, Porter. I risk it with so many guys. I just don't want them to take Colin Sexton. I think that's a stupid pick.
Ooh.
I don't think he's gonna be that good.
I have to agree with that. I think that, you know, he had his moments in Alabama, but I don't know. I don't see enough there. So I agree with you that on that too. Yeah, that's a great comment because Knicks in their point guard history is a little ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Oh man, brutal. But all right, Chris, let's get your feel for some of these other prospects.
Yeah, I like Knox a lot too. And if I were the Knicks, I'd be psyched if he's still available. I don't think he will be. He's been one of the big risers, apparently, if depending on who you listen to, along with Porter. I'm relying a lot on what I read, so because I haven't watched a lot of these guys. One guy I've been kind of locked into, more of a late first rounder, and I'm kind of curious about where he's going to go, is this Serbian kid. His name is Zenan Musa, and he's a big forward. I think he's like 6'9", and a little skinny, but decent defensive player, good shooter. I'm looking at the Celtics and who they could pick, and so you know he'd fit in right in there with that offense where they have a lot of wings, and so he's another guy that I'm kind of curious about, and seems like a lot of people are going in the first round now. So, I agree with a lot of what you guys have already said. Actually, another guy who's interesting is Jair Smith for Texas Tech, who I guess he played like a 4 or 5 in college, and then they actually measured him, and he was like 6'3". So he's going to have to adapt to playing like a guard position in the pros. But he was a super athlete at Texas Tech, and I know a lot of people were disappointed when they actually got him in the gym and measured him. I was laughing just about the whole Knicks point guard thing because I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if they took Colin Sexton.
I really think they are going to take the point guard.
Oh man, get ready for it tomorrow. Oh, my
goodness. Up again.
There are a bunch of them too. It's just so funny how many.
I know.
Ways
there's
they can
like
do.
There's like 3 or 4. There's like 3 or 4 right there for them to take, and pretty much taking one pretty much says they screwed up last year with Frank.
Right.
If they take one now, that pretty much says, oh, we screwed up last year, so let's take another one.
That's got to be
they already
up.
Have Moody. They already have Burke and Moody. How many point guards do you need? They all stink. It's like Francesa talking about, what does Francesa always say? You can't, if you have 3 quarterbacks, it really means you have 0. I think that's the expression, but yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. Yep. You see Mitchell lighting it up for 45 a night in April and May.
Nah. You're hurting me, Dave. You're hurting me. I'm getting upset.
All right. I better calm down. All right, let's do our mock. So we'll go We'll do it a little differently here than we do in the NFL version, because as you mentioned, you know, we don't really know what teams are going to do. And we were inspired, Chris and I, by, and maybe you too, Tom, because you may have heard it, but the Bill Simmons podcast did a really good job with their mock draft where they didn't just, you know, they didn't just like just say, okay, what's the number? What do you pick number one? What do you pick number one? No, you pick number one. No, they actually went to each person who represented their particular team in most of the cases. So like Chris Vernon's a good one. Like he's a Memphis guy. He's been a Memphis Grizzlies fan forever. He covers the Grizzlies. That's his job. So they went to him for the Memphis pick, right? So they, you know, you had Robert Mays. I think his name's Robert Mays, who does the Ringer NFL show. He's in Chicago. He's a Bears fan, but he's a Bulls fan too. So they went to him for the Chicago pick. So that was cool. Now we don't have 14 guys, so we can't do that, but we can. We can rotate this.
You want me to call up Annie for you?
If he wants to, if he's not doing anything, I guess.
No, I'm joking.
That would have been entertaining.
It was an obvious joke, and it went right over your head.
Yeah, I missed it this time. But yeah, so we'll go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. But I may make an exception for the Nick pick because I do want to get your predict. Although you kind of said it already, they're going to pick one of the point guards. But I'll get your opinion on it too because that's officially my pick. But I still will ascertain as to your opinion on it. So we start. We'll go with Chris first, as he has been our co-host. So we'll give him the catbird seat. What does that mean? What is a catbird seat? Is that just the front seat? Is that the seat next to the driver's seat, or is that the driver's seat? I don't know, but. We'll give him the first pick, and so it's Phoenix, and this is a pretty big layup, but we'll give it to you officially, Chris. Who do you have the Suns picking, or if you were the Suns GM, who do you pick at number one?
Well, I mean, the little bit of drama injected into this pick was when the Suns hired a new coach in the offseason, and he was the first Euro coach, and he actually coached Doncic on the Croatian national team. And so there was a lot of speculation. Oh, they're going to take Doncic. He has a relationship with his coach, but there is no drama around this pick. And it is the only short thing at this point that the Suns are going to take Ayton, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. I mean, he played not too far away and, you know, they have drafted a lot of bigs in the last few years. You know, they drafted Bender and Chris in the same draft a few years ago. Alex Len is another one. So they've got a lot of bigs, but they don't have anyone quite in this mold. And even Bender is more of like a he's like a stretch four kind of player anyways. So, yeah, I think I think it's, you know, there's very little to say about this pick. I mean, they've already basically come out and said they're going to take Ayton, so I will not delay the proceedings any further.
Yeah, and I think it's the natural pick, and I don't know. I mean, more power to him. I think he'll certainly have the pop on offense. We'll have to see whether he can elevate this team out of their culture of losing. Or not. So, Tom, what do you think of the Suns going that way?
I think it's obvious. They're definitely going to go that way. As I said before, I think it's a mistake, but that's who they're picking.
I think it's a mistake, too. Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, Chris actually had a good point. They already have a lot of big forwards and centers already, and they picked one last year. And it's like, and he was a joke. So, I can't get into it. But again, I think that's there been in their intention all along. So I think that's definitely along the lines of what I think will actually happen. So I think even you might think that. I mean, do you feel the same way as far as them possibly missing out on an opportunity, Chris?
Oh, totally. I mean, look, if I'm the Suns, I'm drafting Doncic every day of the week. But we know that's not going to happen. And here's the other thing too. I mean, I'm talking about you draft bigs the last few years in the lottery. look, you always are drafting the best player available. And if you think Ayton is that guy, you can't not take him because you got Alex Lynn, you know, or Marquise Chris.
Right.
So yeah, but totally missed opportunity. I think, you know, where Doncic lands is the most fascinating part of this draft, in my opinion. And I think it's going to separate the good teams, you know, like there's, as you point out, there's a lot of dum-dums down here. And, and selfishly, and I've told you this, Dave, selfishly, I really hope the Hawks draft Doncic, because I think it'll just be so exciting to have someone with his skills come to Atlanta. And I can totally see it happening, but I don't want to influence whoever's picking third. So, but yeah, totally missed opportunity. And
yeah,
the Suns are a joke. I mean, that, you know, we talk about you know, the Sixers tanking. Well, this team is in the water every single year, and somehow they never get better. So,
yeah, it's just as hideous drafting. I mean, yet, and to do that for a long period of time, I mean, it's them and the Magic. Just some of the worst drafting you'll ever see. Like, it's so bad. But, well, we'll go to the second pick now. And this is going to get interesting. We're going to give it to Tom. And I'm getting rumblings that Vlade Divac does not like or does not have any interest in getting Doncic. I don't know how seriously you can take that stuff, but he just does not see eye to eye with him for whatever reason. So I find that very peculiar. And I don't know if that'll influence their decision or not, but I'll give it to you, Tom, to make the pick for the Sacramento Kings at number two.
I think they go with Bagley. I think you're right. I think Vlade doesn't like Doncic for whatever reason. Doesn't make sense to me, but I think they go with the safe pick with Bagley.
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, if I were to make the pick, I think I would also say the same thing. I think they're going to just wind up going with Bagley. And it's a good pick. I think it's a good pick. Kind of a similar spot, though, with Sacramento. I think they've got a number of forwards, too. They really need a guy that can create his own dribble, personally. And that doesn't fit that, but I think Chris's point is correct, where you have to get a guy, get the best available player. Don't worry about what the position is. I think that's a really good, it's a really good rule to follow. So, Chris, what do you think as far as the Kings' position with their number two pick?
Yeah, again, dum-dums, right? I mean, Divac doesn't like Doncic. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm sort of secretly I'm glad because the Celtics, you know, very well likely will end up with the Kings pick unless they draft number one overall next year, and I think Doncic would help them, excuse me, more than Bagley. And this is not me ripping on Bagley because I think he'll be a pretty good pro. But I think Doncic is going to be a difference maker in this league. And again, I hope he comes to Atlanta. And but yeah, I heard the same thing that he doesn't, that Divac doesn't like Doncic. And I don't know. I don't get it. But anyways, yeah, that's my thoughts.
All right, so let's go to the third pick that is awarded to me on behalf of Atlanta, and I see a very big opportunity, and we see that two dumbbells just picked Ayton and Bagley ahead of him. We are going to select Luka Doncic from Slovenia for the Atlanta Hawks, giving many people throughout the country a reason to get NBA League Pass next season. And this guy is going to be really fun to watch. I think he can even be good on the assists. So this will be a lot of fun. Tom, if you were to evaluate Atlanta getting Doncic, how would you see that playing out?
I think it would be huge if they did that. The only other player I could see them taking if Doncic is available is Jaren Jackson, who I actually like a lot too, but not as much as Doncic. I think Atlanta, as Chris said, that would be unbelievable if they got him there. And I think there's a good shot they do. But, so I think that would be great for Atlanta if they got him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's – and Atlanta seems to be on the right trajectory anyway. They seem to be thinking ahead. So it's a good place to be. Chris, how does it feel to be part of a new era of Atlanta Hawks basketball?
Well, I'm over the moon about this. I mean, here's a little fact. I actually have seen all three of these teams in person this year. I went to a Suns-Hawks game, and I went to a Kings-Hawks game. So I might have mental problems. But this would be fantastic. I mean, you know, Atlanta last year got one of the steals of the draft in John Collins. I can't remember where they drafted him. I forget what position. But he's an exciting looking player. But adding Doncic, I think the Hawks are actually like a pretty well-run team. I think Travis Schlenk is a confident personnel guy, and I wouldn't pair him with these other two organizations. And I hope you're right, Dave. I'd be thrilled because I'd probably get like a nice eight game package of tickets and just take my son to some games and just to check out Luka.
That'd be fun. Good stuff. All right, so let's go to the fourth pick. And Chris, we'll stay with you because you have the pick for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, boy. Again, another poorly run team. Horrible draft record over the last 10 years.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, you know, Dave, I would joke to you, you know, in text messaging that we almost have to take like bourbon shots before like some of these picks just to simulate what it's like to simulate what it's like to be Chris Wallace, who runs the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh boy. I'll take what I think is the best pick and I think they should take Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State. Big guy, 6'11", I think. And can kind of stretch the floor. His father was an NBA player, played on the Spurs. Good shot blocker, decent rebounder, and I think this would be the right pick if he's still on the board. So that's who I'm going with.
That's and I think if they actually went through with it, that would be a pretty solid pick. So I think I like it. I like it. So, Tom, where are you at with Jackson Jr.?
As I said before, I actually like his game a lot. I think he's a very good player.
Yeah.
He's raw. He's got to gain some weight. I think he's like 230 pounds, and he's 6'11". He's kind of like Mamba, but has more offensive game. The few times I watched him, I actually liked his game a lot. I think that's a good pick for them there.
All right, so the fifth pick of the draft is for the Dallas Mavericks, and Tom has a pick.
I've been thinking about this. I think they go with Mamba here. They need size, rebounding, good defense. I'm going to go with Mamba here for Dallas. They also have a terrible track record in drafts. And Cuban. Just terrible owner. Got so lucky with Dirk. He's been terrible ever since as an owner. So that's besides the point. I think they take Mamba here. I think Mamba, you kind of know what you're going to get with him. And I think it's a safe pick. I think Dallas is going to go with a safe pick.
Seems like a marketable pick, too, because he played for Texas, so he's not going too far from where he played college. So he's got a little bit of a built-in fan base. Yeah, it works out. So that's a pretty good call if they go that way, and you want to think that they would. Chris, let's get your thoughts on what Dallas is like. Dallas taking Bamba, would that be a good fit?
Yeah, at this point, I think so. I think if Jackson had dropped, yeah, definitely it would take him there. But there have been a lot of rumors, too, that Dallas likes Bamba already. And I believe Nerlens is a free agent. Again, not that you draft based on need, but, you know, there would be a bit of a fit. I wasn't even making the geographical connection in Austin to Dallas, but that's an interesting point, too. I could totally see that.
All right, so we now go to the sixth pick of the draft, by the Orlando Magic, and that's for me to decide. So let's give this a look. Let's see. So we've got Ayton off the board, Bamba's off the board, Bagley the third, Jackson Jr., and Doncic, all taken care of. So we have a bunch of guys that they could draw from. I have no clue what the Magic's game plan here is. They've certainly been terrible at the draft. So fittingly, I think they will go with Michael Porter Jr. and cite the upside, and then he'll blow out his ACL, and then that'll be it for the Magic again. So we'll go Michael Porter Jr. for the Magic. Tom, does this work out for Orlando? What do you think?
I actually like that pick by you. I think Orlando screws it up. but I think they could also take Trey. I think there's a high possibility that they take Trey there. But Orlando is just terrible.
Yeah.
They're always at the top of the lottery. It seems terrible.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I actually did seem to play the role of like just being a competent NBA GM there. You're right, because I think if you really look at it, like who's left over? Well, you know, for example, Trey and who's the other guy? Sexton. I mean, they are what they are, right? So you figure with Porter Jr., at least you've got a chance of him being a superstar. So I think from that standpoint, it seems like a solid pick. But, yeah, the chances of the Magic actually following through with that, probably not very high. So, Chris, let's get your feeling for what would happen with Porter Jr. and Orlando.
Well, it's so Orlando, it's not funny. But, you're right. Like, their draft record is horrendous. They're always in the lottery. It seems they always seem to pick the wrong guy. Yeah. And then when they get a good one, like Oladipo, they get rid of him. Yeah, it's such a head scratcher that it really does make a lot of sense. If I were Orlando, I would definitely look at Knox, even Wendell Carter Jr. out of Duke. But and Orlando's interesting. They're one of the teams that really needs a point guard bad. I wonder if they even are exploring the possibility of a trade here. But anyway, totally could see it, Dave.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought about the point guard, because if they wanted a point guard, there are so many point guards in the NBA now. Like, maybe trade for one. Like, well, you don't have to jump to the draft for it, because it just seems like a lot of possible misses here, especially as you go further down the line. So it's very tricky. All right, so Chris, we stay with you. The Chicago Bulls have the 7th pick, and you are the GM for the Bulls, so let's get the 7th pick.
Well, I actually was going to take Porter here, because they did draft a big last year, but again, he's not a typical like big man. And Porter is from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. So there's a lot of the Bulls fans apparently are like in love with this guy. I'm going to go with Kevin Knox here. A small forward. Look, Chicago could pretty much use everything at this point. But he would fill a nice, 6'9" guy. A little raw, but could be a good athletic player. Could be a good scorer at the next level. I'll go with Knox for the Bulls.
I think that's a good fit. Tom, what do you think of the fit on the Bulls?
Very, very good pick. I think that would be a great pick for the Bulls. Let me see who I had them getting. I had them getting Wendell Carter, he kind of reminds me of I'm trying to think who he reminds me of, but he's going to be close to a double-double guy, but I wouldn't even say a solid player. He's going to be a contributor, but that's about it. But Yeah, I think if they get who, if they get Knox, I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, I think Chicago's in for a good for at least some positive production if they go that route. So we'll see. Tom has the eighth pick, and it is from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Really interesting pick. Number one, are they going to use the pick? Are they going to even do the pick, or are they going to trade out of it? I don't know. Number two, if they do pick, they must do it in a scenario where they presume that LeBron won't be there. So in that light, where do you have Cleveland pick making? Where do you have Cleveland picking here at number eight?
Since Knox just went, let me see. Let's go with Mikal Bridges from Villanova. I could see him also going to 10 to the Sixers. It seems like the Knicks don't want him. So let's go with Cleveland with Mikal Bridges. Good defensive player. I think they know they're going to be rebuilding, it seems. So he won't be a foundation player, but he's a solid player for them for their rebuilding mode. Once again, poor Cleveland fans, but they got their title, so they can't whine.
Right. Yeah, that seems all right. I mean, I thought that Bridges was a pretty good player over in Nova as well. So I think there's a lot to like there. I think he's a gamer. He's a competitor. He can shoot. Sometimes. I think so, right? I mean, I remember the free throws were an issue. Was that Brunson? But either one. But other than that...
It was Brunson.
Oh, it was Brunson. Okay. I thought it might have been Brunson. Okay. So, I know, and that'll be interesting, too, to see where Brunson ends up. But, you know, I mean, it's so undefined what will happen with the Cleveland Cavs in the next 3 weeks. So, it's anyone's guess. So, pretty decent choice, honestly. Chris, your thoughts?
That's an interesting one. The Cavs taking a small forward. I like it. I mean, probably one of the best shooters in the draft, wouldn't you say? One of the best 3-point shooters, anyways. I mean, look, you know, Cleveland. I don't even know what the roster is going to look like next year. I expect it's going to be completely different from what we saw this year, or quite different. So, seems like a solid pick. I like it.
All right, so let's go to the ninth pick. It goes to the New York Knicks, and representing the Knicks is yours truly. And we will select... Wendell Carter Jr. is still on the board, but they don't need him because they've already got some... They're pretty good with... the Porzingis is probably taking care of the center position, presuming that he's still he's healthy enough to play most of the year. But beyond that, he's their guy. I think that's going to be the future anyway, so... Now, did anybody pick Jaren Jackson Jr. yet? Yeah. Yes, that's already off the board. So, sorry, Tommy. I think they're going to go Colin Sexton. Sorry, buddy. Do you think that's where they really end up for real? What do you think?
I think it is. I think that's what's going to happen. And it's typical Knicks where they didn't lose enough games, so they get a player they don't really want, which is typical. It happens every year, it seems. They're not bad enough. I remember it was your last year or the year – I think it was last year. I was flipping out because they won like 3 out of their last 5 games or something, and they dropped in the lottery. It might have been 2 years ago, but I forget when it was. The years just go – you forget the years now as you get older, but it's just frustrating at this team. They don't know what they're doing, but yeah, I think they get Colin Sexton, and he's not going to be a great point guard.
No,
but, so I think that'll be their fifth point guard on the roster. So yeah, yippee!
That's rough. Yeah, but that sounds about yeah. I mean. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a scenario where they would go around it, but I don't really see it. So, yeah, I think you're right, unfortunately. Chris, what do you think the Knicks will do yourself?
Yeah, I've been thinking all along that they go point guard again. I'm just looking. I can't believe they did trade for – I mean, they got Ntilikina. And they did trade for Moutier, and they're going to go for another point guard. Wow! In a weird way, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy, what would you think if they took Trae Young here?
I actually like Trae a little bit more than Colin Sexton. So if they did that instead, it wouldn't kill me as much. But Sexton's the last player I actually want the Knicks to take here. I would be happy with either Bridges. I would love it if they took Knox. Porter, I already said, I'd love be on the floor. And I'd be screaming up and down if they got Porter that late. But, Sexton's the one guy I don't want them getting.
Yeah. And it's not completely out of the question that that doesn't happen. Like, maybe they do end up with Bridges because they've got the... Because they, you know, the people out east remember him from Villanova. Definitely Trae Young is a definite possibility because of how much has been talked about him. So there certainly would be some hype in terms of marketability selling tickets. Oh, look, you got this really young superstar from, well, I don't know what superstar, but this young star from Oklahoma that everybody was talking about on ESPN. And the reason is because ESPN just kept hyping him to death. But there's something there. Not as much there with Sexton, so I don't know. I honestly don't know exactly which of these guys I'll do, but it's somebody along those lines, I think, for the Knicks. So, all right, so let's get to the 10th pick. That will be the Philadelphia 76ers, and representing the pick, Chris in Georgia.
Like, no one's taking Wendell Carter Jr. yet, right?
Nope. You think the Sixers would do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's probably the best player available at this point.
Wow.
I mean, I think, but if they're going based on need, maybe they go Trae Young. I'll go Trae Young here. They they need that balance of 3-point shooters and all those guys. They got at the trade deadline are free agents, and so is. Kid from Duke. I'm drawing a blank.
Redick?
Yeah, Redick's a free agent. Yeah. Thank you. Just trying to think. That's a tough one. Yeah, I'll go Trae Young.
Okay. Tom, as you see Trae Young on the possible, as you see Trae Young on the 76ers, do you think that they can make that work?
Yeah, because they won't need him to start or anything. They could use him right off the bench, and mm-hmm. he would be instant offense, as I've said. And I think that would be a nice – he'd be great for their 8 or 9-man rotation. Great off the bench. I think he'd be one of the missing links for them to win a title or at least get to the finals.
Yeah, Chris makes a good point that he winds up being a pretty decent replacement potentially for Redick, and so he could be their 3-point shooter. It's an interesting call. It's actually a very good point. Like, that would be an opening that could develop, that could be there for him. And if they still can't figure out Fultz's minutes, then he's a good fill-in while they work out the Fultz situation at the same time. And I think Fultz is going to be back too anyway, so you're going to get both of them on there. All kinds of guys on the Sixers next year if they don't go after LeBron. So that's always been that was the first talk, if I remember. But we'll get to that in a minute because we've got to finish this mock. But you know, the Sixers will get LeBron. I don't know if that's really such a great plan. I don't think that really serves the Sixers' best interest. They've already got such a talented team. You don't really need to blow it up with LeBron. I think that's kind of silly. So let's go to you, Tommy. The 11th pick, the Charlotte Hornets. The real GM is Mitch Kupchak, but the GM for this pick is Tom in New Jersey. What's up? What do you have, Tom?
Let me see. Let's go SGA. I think the best player available at that point, I think that's who they go with.
That'd be a good pick. That'd be good.
Yep.
Exciting. Very interesting. All right, Chris, do you like that pick for the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah, I do. They're shopping their main guard there now, and
yep.
You know, there's a team that really could use everything, and he's such an intriguing player because he's a pretty good playmaker. Three-point shooting. Gosh, he was 40% from the floor last year. I think you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty decent choice. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to end up doing with. Who is it? The guy from UConn. I keep forgetting his name, but he's really good. I think having more depth in the backcourt, it's a pretty good call. So yeah, that's a good pick, Tom. That's really well done. So it is now up to me with a 12th pick. It goes to the Clippers. The Clippers have two picks coming up, the 12th and the 13th. And I have my doubts that they're going to end up going through with both of them. I feel like they'll trade out of one. But assume they have them both. Well, the first of the two. Woo, this is going to get interesting because I think they need a wing. A consistent wing scorer. And Knox is not available. I think they'll get Miles Bridges from Michigan State, so we'll go with that. Wait, did we do that? Yeah, no, we did not. So Mikal Bridges went in front of him, so I will go Miles Bridges. And I think that'd be decent. Well, because, you know, they don't have Blake Griffin anymore, so they do need another forward to be active on the boards. And they need a good wing, and I think he takes on that role pretty well. So we'll see. I think it's a decent play. So what do you guys think of that? We'll start with you, Tom. Is Miles Bridges a good pick for the Clippers?
I think it is. I actually had them taking the kid from Texas Tech that Chris mentioned before.
Zaire Smith.
Yeah, I think that's who they take. I think they want someone who's really athletic, potential to be a really good shooter. If I remember, I think he's got like a really weird form on his shot. It's kind of weird. But I think he's got a lot of potential, really athletic. There's another kid from, let me see on my list, from Boston College that might go right around the end of the lottery. That's also a good shooter. And he's been around. I think he's like 21 or 22. That's another guy they can take. But I could see them taking Bridges too, Dave. We're at the stage of the game where we really have no clue. A lot of it's who drops and who you're trying to get. You might get a player you didn't think you were going to get at this point. So it's definitely a crapshoot now.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, once you get to about 15th, it's a completely random. We have no idea from that point what could happen. So I think that's a good point. Now, the good thing for the Clippers is they also get the 13th pick, so they could still pick up Zaire Smith if they wanted to. Chris has taken over GM duties for the Clippers, so he has the 13th pick of the draft. Chris, who do you have the Clippers taking at 13?
Well, you kind of telegraphing that pick for me, Dave?
Well, it's up to you. It's there if you want it. What do you think will happen there?
No, I'm totally joking. The one thing that has caught my eye is that Wendell Carter is still on the board.
Oh, you're right.
No one's taking him.
You're right.
Which is kind of crazy. And if I'm Jerry West and oh man, tough decision here. But you know, I'm just looking at the Clippers roster. They got Tobias Harris last year. They got Montrezl Harrell. But you know what? I mean, Wendell Carter does make some sense from the standpoint that I can't remember what Harrell's situation is, but Jordan has only 1 year left. I'm kind of leaning towards Wendell Carter there.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Clippers could definitely use some improvement on the front court as well. So I think factoring in the very real possibility that Jordan won't be on the team 2 years from now, I think that's a really, really solid play. So Tom, do you endorse this decision by the Clippers to go with a center?
Oh yeah, I think they would be delighted if they got Carter at this point. So yeah, I think it'd be a smart pick. I don't think there's any shot Carter drops that far down that he does with our draft. But yeah. I think they would love it.
I tend to agree on that point too. I would be really surprised if you drop below 7, to be honest. But that's just how it worked out this time out. So we were just doing our mock. So Tom, you have the final pick. It goes to the Denver Nuggets. Who do you have for number 14?
Let's see. Let's go with the kid from Boston College. What's his name? Jerome Williams. I think that's his name. I'm gonna go with him. I think he's a junior. I think he's the first guy that's not a freshman that gets drafted. But that's what I'm going with there. Good shooter. You kind of know what you're getting. Not great at athleticism. Not good off the first step, but a good shooter. Played at Boston College, I think, for 3 years. The team was obviously a disgrace. It's BC. terrible program. It's terrible. But, that's who I'm going with Denver there. Kind of a safe pick.
All right. I don't really know a whole lot about him in this case. So I will take your word for it. It was tough to find Boston College on any telecast. I did see a game that they played against Virginia, I believe it was. Or was it? Maybe it was against Clemson, but I think it was Virginia. And yeah, they got wiped out pretty hard, so not much I can report there. So let's go to Chris. So what did you think of the pick of Jerome Williams?
I think it's Jerome Robinson.
It's Robinson.
Yeah. I actually did see BC play, and they played against Duke, and I believe they won that game, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember Robinson, but that's interesting. A BC guy, I can't even remember when was the last time a BC guy went this high, went in the lottery.
Probably Jared Dudley.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Jared Dudley, probably, and that was at least 10 years ago.
Yeah. So that's you're right. The first upperclassman that goes in this draft. It seems like a solid pick for the Nuggets. They've got, I think, one of their guards is a restricted free agent. I think Gary Harris is a restricted free agent, if I'm not mistaken. But I suspect they'll be able to keep him. An interesting guy to bring into their rotation there.
Yeah, I hope they keep Gary Harris. Not a really related comment, but he certainly had some spunk and definitely got the Lakers really angry at him. I forget what the story behind that was, but there's a real feud going. I think Lonzo Ball got involved in it. It became a mess. The fans were just booing his ass at the end of the season. So you don't want to see that go away, because it was kind of part of the fun of the NBA from my point of view, but good times. I think I'll add this. Denver can always use a good shooter. I think it benefits their style and it benefits their legacy. So from that standpoint, I think it's a solid pick too, Tom. So pretty good stuff, guys. That's it for the mock. Does a tremendous job, everybody. The only thing is that Carter dropping low probably won't happen. But other than that, I feel like these are very realistic projections, and it should be a lot of fun to watch and see where everybody ends up. So final thoughts time. I think we'll start with Tom. And thanks again, Tom, for joining us for all this. This has been a lot of fun. So what do you have to look forward to as we get into the NBA draft in this offseason?
I just turned on the Yankee game and they tied. I just missed their comeback. They were down 5-0. Now it's 5-5.
Really?
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. And then top of the ninth, Chapman's pitching. It's 5-5. Wonder what happened. Captain probably was going nuts right now. He's probably flipping out when they were down 5-0. Yes. Now it's tied at 5. He's probably off the wall. But with the draft, I think it's going to be it's going to be a fun evening. It's not as exciting as the NFL draft, but it's a lot better than the NHL draft and a lot better than the MLB draft. We actually know these a lot of these players, at least we've heard of them. I think it'll be fun. Who ESPN has it, or is it TNT? I'm going to guess ESPN again.
I think it's ESPN. Chris, would you know offhand?
Yeah, it's ESPN.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
See, I liked it more when it was on TNT because Barkley was funny. But I guess a lot of people are sick of Barkley at this point. But I wish it was on TNT. But ESPN's fine. I'm looking forward to it. Does it start at 7 or 8?
I would think 8, but that's a guess. I'll go look it up.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I think
yeah,
it's 8.
I'm looking it up. Give me a
second. I think you're right. It's got to be 8.
Yeah, I mean, even if with this, let me look. Is that Barclays this year? Yeah. I think that's what they've been doing it for a while, right? Barclays?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Look, let's just say it's 8.
They
it
did
could it. Be 7, but either way.
Didn't they do it in Newark one year when the Nets were playing in Newark?
I don't remember.
Yeah, they did.
I think they did.
I'm pretty sure they did because my friend Jeremy wanted to go to it, and I said no. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they did have it in Newark one year.
Yeah.
I think that was when Mike was – didn't he broadcast from the sidewalk of Newark outside of the arena there? I think that was – I'm pretty sure that was the time.
I think you're right. Yeah, classic Mike. You should have a podcast just talking about Mike. When's the last time you've done that, Dave?
December.
I could do 2 hours on Mike.
Wait, December.
I could do 2 hours on Mike.
Another 2 hours on Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. That we really could go for a while. Have you heard his show since the return? Like, do you still listen? Do you listen to it at all?
Come on, Dave. What do you think? I've been listening. I've been listening since I was 9 years old. You think I'm gonna stop now?
All right. Fair enough. Well, we are gonna definitely have some opportunities for that in the future, anyway. So, random questions shows will be on tap during the summer as we start to get into that little lean period between now and the NFL. But it may not be that lean. I think we're going to have a really serious offseason with the NBA, starting with the draft, which I see here is at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, which means I'm going to miss like some of the picks. I'll be at work watching them.
Oh, it is 7?
Yeah. Unless that's just a pregame.
They don't promote it. They don't promote it as well as the NFL.
No.
I mean, yeah, they don't do as nearly as good of a job as the NFL with the draft.
I agree.
And even for the diehards, by like 9 o'clock, you're kind of getting sick of it. After with the NFL draft, I would say it takes a good, I don't know, I was into it pretty much until the 25th pick. In the NBA draft, I kind of get bored by like the 15th. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I think I'm looking forward to either way. Like you said, there's a lot of unknowns, so that probably lends to the short-term, you know, juice that there is. But it should be good.
I would never go to the draft. I think that's really boring.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because you're just sitting there listening to names, and how much fun can that be?
Why do people do for the NFL version? That seems to be just
yeah,
as
I don't,
silly.
I wouldn't go to that either. I think that would be lame too. I don't think going to stuff like that's that much fun, but that's just me.
That's literally what it is. It's a guy reading names off of a board or off of a piece of paper. So it's true. But it's fun for us. We get to figure out what the future of numerous franchises is. It should be pretty neat. So, Chris, let's get your final thoughts on the draft and offseason.
Yeah, a little fact-checking thing. The Denver guard you were referencing earlier who was having a little thing with Lonzo was actually Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray. All right, there you go. Yeah. That's it. That's right.
There was some underrated juice there, though. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in this draft for the long haul because the Celtics are picking 27th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to definitely be locked in. It's the first time Boston hasn't had a lottery pick in a long time, or hasn't even had more than one pick in a while too. And the
freaking
Celtics
that.
Really only have one.
Freaking it.
The Celtics only have one pick because they don't have a second rounder. But so I'm going to be fired up to see who they get and if someone who can help in their rotation. I'm looking forward to it. A year ago, I believe it was the day before the draft that the Celtics made that trade with the Sixers and traded down, which was kind of unheard of because usually teams don't trade the number one overall pick. I predict there will be someone that's going to trade down. It might be Memphis. I don't know. It could be a number of teams. I suspect, maybe even Orlando. I don't know, but we'll see. I would say I'd be on the lookout for a trade or two early on.
The trade down seems really plausible, and it probably would happen between maybe 4 and 10. Tom, where would you see a trade down, if any?
I could definitely see even like a team like the Knicks trading down, especially with a new guy in charge. Trading down is always a safe pick. I could see that. I could definitely see someone trading down.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't know where. I'm not sure which team would do that, but I know a team would do that. So I thought that the Clippers, like I said earlier, I think the Clippers might trade one of the two picks too, just to get some leverage. Whether it's to maybe as a means to clear more cap space or a way to kind of set the tone, maybe make way for a bigger free agent. I don't know, but I getting both of those picks, I would be kind of surprised if they did both of them. But they might, and if they do, I think they're in for some pretty solid players to join their team. So that'll be one that I'll watch too. So I'll be watching the draft at least until pick number 14. To see where they end up, where all those guys end up. So we'll see. All right, guys. Well, that was fun. This went very well. Thanks very much for joining us or joining me. Tom, a lot of fun breaking that down with you. Definitely value your expertise. Chris, same thing. I think it's just been really marvelous. We'll be back at some point. I think basically when the next domino drops in the NBA free off season. You definitely get the feeling that LeBron and Kawhi are going to new places. And when they get to those new places, we will talk about them. So looking forward to getting you back. And Tom, open invite if you want to join in on that discussion. We'd be happy to have you back for that too. So fellas, all the best. Take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the World Cup. Oh, Tom, who do you have winning the World Cup? But I think we talked about this, did we? No,
Portugal.
I talked to Oatman about it. But who do you have? Like, I know it's already starting, but
Portugal.
You have you said you had the bet on Portugal?
Yeah, both of us do. Otis does too. 15 he got it at 21-1, I think. I got it 15-1 odd.
Oh, I like
and,
it.
And I haven't bet the mortgage yet since gambling's legal, so I've actually been good. I've only gone to the track once, which is shocking.
Yeah.
But there's not much, it's not NFL or college football season yet, so When that season rolls around, watch out. It's going to be bad.
Oh, boy. Looking forward to the updates there. Be careful out there because there are a lot of bets that you can get suckered into that I've seen it.
Yep.
I've been there. You've loved it in Vegas or wherever. So, but it should be fun. That's cool. So good luck to Portugal. Definitely. I've been telling everybody, telling Oatman, they have the LeBron. They have the LeBron of their own. They have Cristiano Ronaldo, he is just so good. Like, it's amazing just watching him play. I didn't get to see him today because the game started at 5 local, but man, that is a treat. Being able to see him in the World Cup is good stuff. I mean, we don't have USA in it, but I can root for Mexico, and I can check out what happens with Ronaldo. So it's a good time. Chris, I hope same for you. I don't know if you have a prediction for World Cup, but if you do, feel free to lay it on us. Yeah, I guess I'll just...
I went with France. I picked France.
Okay, all right. Well, solid choice, and they tend to be in the mix a lot of times, so that should be interesting. Okay, I guess that's it. So, guys, enjoy all the sports, and we'll do it again soon. So take care, fellas. All the best.
Thanks
so much, Dave.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. That's our show. That's the NBA draft preview. We hope you enjoyed it. And enjoy the draft tomorrow or today on ESPN, depending on when you listen to this podcast. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DidCow on Twitter, on the web at www.didcow.com, and I keep forgetting, we're on Facebook too, facebook.com/didcow. Have a wonderful time. We'll see you next time.